Divisional playoffs in the books. Playoffs round two done. And we are here gathered directly after the closure of the Giants game here, bringing it to you a little bit more quickly this week. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, my always prepared, my often duplicated but never imitated co-hosts, Chris and Weasel, bringing you lots of action. A little bit of a spoiler warning here. There will be lots and lots of homerism in this episode.
Not for me.
Well, there's a first time for everything. At any rate, before we talk too much about homerism, let's go ahead and jump over to the homeroom and get the coaching carousel ride out of the way. First of all, in case you hadn't heard yet, the Jeff Fisher sweepstakes is officially over. The St. Louis Rams secure the former Titans coach. Lots of thoughts of that. It was connected to Jeff Fisher was asking for a number, and the Rams weren't willing to pay it. And then they figured out we better pay it, or he's going to end up in Miami. So, anyways, at any rate, Jeff Fisher officially now the coach in St. Louis. So, Brian Schottenheimer recently departed Jets offensive coordinator, appearing to be courted as part of his staff here sooner than later. But then you would wonder, what's the opening then in the Jets coaching carousel now for the offensive coordinator? Tony Sperano, former Dolphins head coach. So, as a resident New York former, Chris, feelings?
It sucks.
Yeah. Quite tersely put.
Can't say any other words. It just sucks.
Well, and here's my thing about that. When you really look at these offenses, they're really kind of the same. You know, you got a pretty solid offensive line, although, you know, this year the Jets didn't do quite as good in number of injuries to Nick Mangold and a few others. You got a quarterback situation that is inconsistent. I know there's a lot of votes, you know, a lot of debate on there on the prowess of Mark Sanchez. You know, whether Sanchez is fading or whether he's improving. There are numbers that can prove both. And then also, you know, the same thing with Matt Moore. The jury is out as to whether or not he is the future for the Dolphins. The running game is a committee of running backs. I guess technically speaking, this year Reggie Bush was the best running back if you compare the Dolphins running backs to the Jets running backs. But you know, so their running back situation is confusing. Both teams that do better when they have a running attack with them. Both top wide receivers, prima donnas, that, you know, are playing their best due to personality issues, lacking a better term. And basically, both are teams that rely on their defense. The reason why I take all this time to tell you how much they're alike, if you're looking for a new offensive coordinator, why would you get the head coach of a team that's just like yours? I thought the concept was to bring in a guy that might do something different, you know? To basically go this route, my conclusion, it sucks.
Right? Yeah. You just went on for 2 minutes, this whole thing was 2 words, it sucks.
But speaking of coaching moves that actually make some sense, the Jacksonville Jaguars have officially filled their head coaching spot, the interim coach going back to his defensive coordinator duties. Mike Mularkey stepping in, former Falcons offensive coordinator, who basically that is a pretty solid offense. If Natty Ice didn't choke, you know, they'd probably still be in the playoffs right now. So obviously, I'm going to go with a three-word description for this. It doesn't suck. Do you guys have any weigh-in on how that would, on Mularkey's appearance in Jacksonville? And another note to Khan, the guy who recently purchased the Jaguars, promised to move quickly, and with securing Mularkey during the past week as the head coach, did just that. So that's definitely a positive sign. How do you guys feel about Mularkey taking that spot at the head coaching helm there?
I think it's a good move.
Okay, yeah. And if you compare the style of offense that Atlanta has, picking up Mularkey tailors to it. Good running game, developing quarterback, focus on the tight end. Sure, it's not soon-to-be Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez, but Mercedes Lewis, kind of a big deal, is essentially top receiver there. Perhaps Mularkey will have an eye to bring in some receiver talent. Maybe we can see that Jacksonville offense do a little some, especially with the precarious Colts offensive situation. And, you know, the Texans, they could be suffering a hangover this year, next year after this year's performance. Kind of a possibility there as well. So anyways, that's a bit of speculation there. A little bit of a coaching carousel update. But now that that administrative bit of mess is done, it's time to talk about the games themselves. And we're basically going to go in the same order that we had in the weekend's performance. We'll open up with the game of the Golden Helmet. The New Orleans Saints facing off against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I usually make it a point not to cover the Niners because I don't want to seem homeristic. But in light of the fact that Chris had the Giants game and Weasel got the Tebow game, well, I had no choice. However, it worked out good as the Golden Red prevailed over the Golden Black. The Niners beating the Saints 36-32 in what was really pretty much kind of more of a tennis match at times than a football game. Drew Brees, he got pretty busy. What did he have in common? His attempts were just the same as his completion percentage, both 63. 40 completions for 63 attempts, 462 yards, 4 touchdowns, but 2 INTs, representing 2 of 5 turnovers by the Saints. Now, I will give the Saints this much of a prop in that you scored 32 points turning the ball over 5 times. Kind of a big deal, that. At any rate, quarterbacking sensation Alex Smith. No, it still doesn't sound right, but he showed up to play with 24 completions of 42 attempts, 57%, 299 yards with 3 touchdowns, and he did have a fumble on the day for the Niners' only turnover. But, gentlemen, a 28-yard rushing touchdown. A 28-yard rushing touchdown. Okay, here's the trippy part about it, if I can talk about this real quick. It was a designed run. It wasn't something where the play broke down and he ran for his life. It was designed this way. Crackback block from a receiver, left tackle going 15, 20 yards down the field to cut block the safety for a touchdown that put the Niners ahead at the time. Sure, it was immediately answered back by Jimmy Graham, but we'll get to more of that later. Wow.
You don't expect a design run from the 49ers.
Or Alex Smith.
Exactly.
And why should you? But then all of a sudden, here we go.
Especially on a 3rd and 8.
Yeah, and another excellent point, too. Well, he got the 8, definitely, and 20 more for the touchdown. On the ground for the Saints, 9 carries for 23 yards by Chris Ivory represented the top performer, 2.4 yards a carry, and Pierre Thomas had 1 carry for 6 yards. He lost the fumble, one of the 5 turnovers by the Saints. The inconvenient truth, Frank Gore, 13 carries, 89 yards, 6.90 carry. He also had 7 catches for 38 yards, and Kendall Hunter had 6 carries for 23 yards on the ground. In the air, the Saints got busy here. No shock here. Marquise Colston, 9 catches, 136 yards and a touchdown. Darren Sproles had a fumble, but 15 catches, 419 yards and a touchdown. And Jimmy Graham, 5 catches, 103 yards, 2 touchdowns, including a 66-yarder where there were more arm tackles. How you try to arm tackle Jimmy Graham? Seriously. Now, I saw Jimmy Graham catch the second of his 2 touchdowns that put the Saints ahead with about a minute and 40 left in the fourth quarter. Was a little bit frustrated. More on that later. Michael Crabtree had 4 catches for 25 yards and a touchdown for the Niners. And Vernon Davis. Let me tell you about the game Vernon Davis had. We're gonna give him a new middle name, Vernon F. Davis. Okay, right there. Lighten it up. 7 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. Look, guys, I have been the biggest critic of Alex Smith. But with this game, and not just because of good stats, but being under constant pressure, made a lot of good strikes, made a lot of solid efforts, and they're trying to call this catch by Vernon Davis in the fourth quarter to win the game. The grab or something like that. I don't know how I feel about it. But let me offer you this up. Something I saw occur during the game. You're the coach of a team that's trying to defend a tight end like Jimmy Graham. What do you do to cover him?
Get a fast guy on him. You should get like a corner. But the thing is that if you do that, he's not going to be as tall as Jimmy Graham because he's got ups. So get someone fast on him.
Well, there's such a thing as a tall corner, but I see where you're going. Chris, what about you?
You go after, I'd say you double him up. You go low and high. You get a linebacker, you know, cover short. You got a safety over the top.
So then you pass him off.
Right.
Okay. Well, neither strategy worked. Whereas the Niners went Patrick Willis on Jimmy Graham, pass him off on longer plays. That's what set up the touchdown. However, they put a corner, one Malcolm Jenkins, on Vernon Davis. That play I referred to, the one where Vernon Davis grabbed the touchdown. And I think, by the way, he was bowling over. He basically ran through Malcolm Jenkins to make that catch because he caught the ball and he was trying, basically during the attempt to tackle. Vernon Davis just said, no, forget you, Kona. You ain't getting this. You know, it was an amazing catch. And I got to say, right now, this game for myself was probably the most emotionally invested game I've been in years for the 49ers, especially in the playoffs, because, well, the last time I believe they were in the playoffs, 2003, I believe.
That's a while ago.
Last time they've been this far in the playoffs, 2002, when the Bucks won the Super Bowl, because it was the Bucks that knocked them out. At any rate, that was a ridiculously close game. A lot of turning points there. Obviously, the turnovers for the Saints made the difference, but they did not have the advent of Adrian Peterson fumbling the ball back in this game. No offense, Weasel. So turnovers made them pay. Niners prevail. See you at Conference Championship Sunday. And we'll talk more about that game later. Take us to the first AFC game of the weekend. Weasel.
The Patriots at home crushed the Broncos 45-10. For the Patriots, Tom Brady was 26 of 34, 76%, 363 yards, 6 touchdowns, 119.
6 touchdowns. Last time there was a 6 touchdown postseason performance, could either of you guys name it?
I'm thinking it was Steve Young.
You researched this, yeah. Didn't you? Very good.
And
all right, Smarty, who was it against?
Well, it's a Super Bowl game. I'm guessing Bengals.
That was Joe Montana. Yeah. Chargers.
Chargers.
Chargers facing Natron Means at running back.
Oh, yeah. And Darrell Lamontica of the Oakland Raiders also had 6 touchdowns thrown in the playoff game.
What?
In 1969, I believe. The Raiders.
The name. What?
Darrell Lamontica. Lamontica.
Chris, get on that, please. Weasel, continue.
All right. Now, the thing about it was he was not sacked this game. Going up against a decent defense, not sacked.
Well, we'll talk about how decent they were in a minute. I mean, they did give up 6 friggin' touchdowns, but I digress.
6 touchdowns on their first 9 possessions. So
hardcore.
Yeah. For the running game, tight end Aaron Hernandez led the way. Five rushes for 61 yards, 12.2 average.
Wait a minute. What do you mean Aaron Hernandez led the way? No, you're talking about the passing game, right?
No.
Oh, wow, he's playing fullback.
It's pretty cool. With him running, it's like, you know, the defense don't want to tackle him. It's like, oh, crap. So
crap. If Brandon Jacobs could catch, he would be Aaron Hernandez.
Yes. Yeah. Jarvis Greenhouse, nicknamed the law firm, had 13 for 28, 2.2 average. Danny Woodhead had 4 for 25. And rookie running back Stevon Ridley lost a fumble, but had 4 for 21.
You know, I have to say this because it's hilarious. I'm looking at this on my paper. I call Ben Jarvis Greenhouse the firm, so I just write firm in my notes. And beneath it, Woodhead. So my notes read, firm Woodhead.
Nice.
Wow. Moving on.
In the receiving game, tight end Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk.
10 catches, 145 yards, 3 touchdowns.
It sounds like they didn't contain him very well.
Yeah, no. Deion Branch had 3 for 85 with a touchdown. Wes the Weapon Welker had 6 for 55 with a touchdown. Hernandez added 4 for 55 with a touchdown.
Now I'm confused. Is he running the ball or is he catching it now?
Does it all now.
Okay.
Does it all.
Okay, but what was the touchdown? It was a passing touchdown.
He had a receiving touchdown.
Okay. It's so confusing.
For the Broncos, Tim Tebow. 9 of 26, 34%. 136 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 5 times. Lost a fumble on the Broncos' first possession of the game that led to a Patriots touchdown to give New England a 14-0 lead. He had 5 scrambles for 13 yards. So,
gentlemen, I believe Tebow time has expired this season. And basically, what we're going to need to be looking at as far as his progression and whether he'll be able to sustain Tebow mania, as it were, will probably be whether he develops an actual throwing arm, maybe a little bit of confidence. I think, and I mean, he threw the ball 26 times, which is more than I thought he did. A lot of that would have probably been in garbage time, which was, I mean, Weasel, you tell me, probably pretty much the entire second half, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, it's funny, like, John Elway, going into the Steelers game, says the kid needs to pull the trigger. They come out for the Patriots game, and they don't go by that.
Yeah, he wasn't taking any shots downfield or anything, but he was also getting pressured all game.
Yeah, well, nine sacks would certainly show that. I mean, I don't know if he's still in a place where he's holding on to the ball too long, too. That's something that he tends to struggle with.
Part of him holding the ball too long is because he kind of has a windup for when he throws.
Oh, no, I'm not even talking about the delivery. I mean, it takes him too long to decide before he even gets to that point. So what you're saying is kind of on top of the fact he takes so long to decide, his windup is slow.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a good point. I think we're kind of compounding a reason for Tebow's slowness overall. And another factor, too, in nine sacks. I mean, technically speaking, if they tack him in the backfield when he stops an option, that's a sack. But at any rate, that's still a lockdown defense as far as that's concerned. Go ahead.
In the running game, Willis McGahee had 17 rushes for 76 yards, 4.5 average with a touchdown. Lance Ball had 13 for 44, 3.4 average. Demaryius Thomas, in the receiving game, had 6 catches for 93 yards. Eddie Royal had 2 for 25. Stat of the game, when Brady threw his 6th touchdown pass of the game in the third quarter, Tebow had only 3 completions. That was one of those stats that kind of sticks out.
It's one of those stats that kind of goes, wah, wah. Yeah.
No,
the Broncos he's not doing very good.
Exactly. Yeah. The Broncos won the turnover battle 2-1, but the Broncos D just could not keep Brady from throwing touchdown passes.
At least the Broncos found a way to win something. I'm just saying. Yeah, so, you know, Tebow lost. No shock here. I think we all picked universally that would occur. Something that we did not...
Hold on. The name was Daryl LaMonica.
LaMonica.
Daryl, okay, not Darrell. Yeah, Daryl LaMonica. Okay, I should have thought of LaMonica.
Nicknamed the Mad Bomber.
Right.
Nice.
What bombs at midnight?
Yeah, because most of his passes went deep.
So.
He has, he has the 78.4% winning percentage as a starter, which is second best in NFL history.
Ooh.
Behind?
Otto Graham.
Classic name then.
Which is at 81%.
Huh.
So anyways, speaking of things that have much lower percentages than that, we go to the Texans and the Ravens. Now, we all picked the Ravens to... no, we didn't. No, you picked the Texans.
And so did he. So did Wizard.
Wow, I didn't even mean to talk smack right there. I completely got this wrong. Wow. So apparently, I'm looking really smart as the Ravens prevail 20-13. Yes, 20-13, and I would actually argue that the game probably should have been even closer than that. Probably should have gone into overtime. More on that later. T.J. Yates, 35 attempts, 17 completions, 49%, 184 yards. Big problem stat here, 3 interceptions. Joe Flacco went 14 for 27, 52%, not a great day on that front. Did go for 176 with 2 touchdowns. But, gentlemen, let me tell you something I saw in this game. The Houston defense was thumping. These guys came out to hit. That front is something stupid. I saw the way that they would read screen passes and cause them to be tackles for losses instead. I saw the way that they came in and contributed directly to that low completion percentage for Joe Flacco. They were on the attack. It was something stupid.
They had 5 sacks to none.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I forgot what I did. I didn't write it down, and I was like, I don't remember what it is. But at the very least, another turnover there, or another stat there, 4 turnovers by the Texans. Only lost the game by a touchdown. Just saying.
If they had Chubb back. If he was if he wasn't injured, that would have been a totally different game.
Maybe. I mean, when we're talking about the kind of pressure that they had, that's not a lock. That's not a lock. Because, I mean, look, everyone wants to talk to me about Andre Johnson. First of all, you got Ed Reed at safety, who had 2 of the picks, I believe. And Andre Johnson, while he did go 8 catches for 111, no other receiver had more than 26 yards.
Ed Reed had 1.
Ed Reed had 1? Okay.
Yeah, it was Lardarius Webb had 2.
Okay. also the punt returner, or the kickoff returner, one of the returners for the Ravens as well. At any rate, Arian Foster, the Arian Nation on the ground, went 27 for 132. First 100 ground gainer against the Ravens this season. Went 4.90 carry, also contributed a touchdown. Did Ben Tate have anything on there? I don't have it written down.
No?
Yeah, exactly. Ray Rice went 21 for 60. Ricky Williams also contributed six carries for 27 as well. Ray Rice only having 2 yards a carry. That's a good accomplishment to contain that. And frankly, I think another testament to the powerful performance of the Texan defense. In the air, Anquan Boldin, 4 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. As he looks over at Larry Fitzgerald and says, "Who's going to the Super Bowl now?" Well, on that later. And there was another touchdown contributed by Chris Wilson, third string tight end, in the red zone, because they did what? Play action. Not just red zone, but goal to go. "Oh, look, I'm giving it to Ray." Psych!
Yeah, that was a low pass, too. It was a good hands by him. Mm-hmm. It was low and behind him.
It was bulleted, too, I believe, yeah. And I think it was thrown the way it was because while there was play action, the defense continued to collapse. Good throw by Flacco. Threw it under intense pressure with Chris Wilson. Touchdown.
And that Anquan Boldin touchdown was pretty nice, too.
Yeah, okay, give me details on it.
He was, it was almost out of his reach, and he kind of tipped it and kind of was diving into the end zone as he came up with the whole possession.
Better catch. The diving catch by, or the tipping, better tip catch. The one that you're talking about there by Boldin, or the one by Gronkowski where he, in midair, tipped it to himself while diving?
The better one was Gronkowski.
I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, but I mean, Anquan Boldin, I mean, he had 4 catches. 2 of them were pretty nice. One was on the sideline in the first half. They came down with, you know, foot, and he had his hand down before his leg went out of bounds.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one, too. That wasn't reviewed, and it was wise that it wasn't, yeah. I don't know how that's rated in the rules, where if you have a hand down.
You can have a hand. I thought it was a hand and a foot.
I need to check the rule book on it, but I know if it's just a hand.
It's not. A hand is considered a foot.
Okay.
So if you have a foot and a hand, that's 2.
But then an elbow is like a knee.
Elbow and a knee or a forearm is considered, you know, all you need is one.
And the foot bone's connected to the leg bone, whatever. Okay, so at any rate, going into the last 2 minutes, the Texans were still competing the entire time. However, rampant turnovers occurred. I believe Yates had 2 interceptions in the fourth quarter. And there was, I think it was a minute or so left. The Ravens had an opportunity to close the game out on offense. Had a 3rd-and-1, or I think like a 3rd-and-1 or a 3rd-and-2. Did not convert in handing the ball off to fullback, Pro Bowl fullback, Vonte Leach.
Ex-Texan.
Ex-Texan, right. So, punted it away, and Yates taking shots at the end zone. Real chance to have tied it up there. Ed Reed comes up, smacks the ball down, lands awkwardly, twists his ankle. Now, x-rays and such came back negative, but because the offense didn't take care of business, they were almost without Ed Reed against a quarterback that just threw 6 touchdowns in a playoff game.
They're going to need Ed Reed to do good against the Patriots, yeah.
Weasel playing hurt comes up with a great point. We'll get to that later. So, yeah, that'll take us past that. That game going a lot closer than we could have imagined. Another game we expected to be close when we started watching it. The Giants, the Packers, the rematch. Chris.
Even though the refs blew 2 calls that favored the Pack, that kept drives alive and would eventually turn into touchdowns, the Giants D came up big, forcing 4 turnovers to win 37-20.
If I may step in, that's not just homerism. The refs really did screw these calls up.
The refs did their best to help out the Pack, but
you gotta touch those 2 now, or you gotta touch those 2 calls later.
Let's do it later. Do it later. It's a bit more relevant. We'll get more situational. Right. And the thing we wanted to mention about the previous game too: stupid fumbles in special teams, killing a team yet again. Basically, long story short,
so Jacoby Jones fumbled the punt that he shouldn't even try fielding.
It bounced in front of him inside the 20. Right?
Right, with a defender right there in his face.
It's like, "Oh, I'm going to try to recover." So yeah,
that led to that 1 yard touchdown.
Right. And to by Chris Wilson, and if the guy who recovered the fumble just kind of crawled forward, he might have been able to get the ball across before he was touched. But at any rate, Giants pack. Let's do it, Chris.
All right. For the Giants, Eli Manning was 21 for 33, 64%, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT. He was sacked twice. There's a lot of threes there. 33 attempts, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know,
but I thought Tebow was the religious one. Why do we keep bringing up the Trinity?
Yeah. That's because I was 316.
Spiritual week. Humor.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was 26 of 46, 57%, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns. 1 INT, 1 lost fumble. He was sacked 4 times as well.
Aww.
For the Giants in the ground, Ahmad Bradshaw 12 for 63, 5.25 a carry, and Brandon Jacobs had 9 for 22, 2.4 with a touchdown. And for the Pack, Aaron Rodgers led the ground game for 7 carries for 66 yards, 9.4 a carry. John Starks had 6 for 43, Ryan Grant had 8 for 33 with a fumble, and John Kuhn had 1 for 2, but it was a lost fumble. And nice. He got hurt on the play.
Also on the one pass that he caught, did contribute to touchdown, so right. He balanced himself out. Two things I just realized here sitting with you guys. A, we cannot get any more homerism than during this game. Not only did a New York team prevail, the Packers lost. My co-hosts drenched in wind. That's all I'm saying. And the other piece I want to bring up, too, Aaron Rodgers in the previous matchup where the Giants lost by, I think it was like 2 or 3 points, who led the game in rushing yards for the Packers in that game?
Aaron Rodgers,
once again.
The big thing about that fumble for Aaron Rodgers, I think it was in the third quarter, O.C. Umanura, I think Rodgers dropped back, and I believe it was Jennings did a double move mm-hmm. on Aaron Ross.
Oh, yeah, this is a good call.
He was wide open. And if he got that pass to him, I think the score would have been like 20-17. Instead of the fumble turnover, so that was like a big turnover for the Giants defense.
Now, I'm not sure if it was Uwenyura or Pierre Paul, but goodness knows that both of them had impact in this game in moments not like that as well. That's an excellent call right there, Weasel. Yeah,
he was wide open.
It was a screen fly basically. He made two steps and like he was gonna or not a screen. I'm sorry, a slant fly. Made two steps in like he was going to slant and took off up the field. On that slant, the corner, I believe it was Aaron Ross, bit up. Uh-oh, PC opening, just like he talked about, until the defensive ends, the DEs, invoke their will. Gentlemen, I said it on Friday, talking with Tom Kernan on WTMY.com, 1280 a.m., Sarasota, Bradenton. I think, I gave them up their props now. Here's the proof of it. You can't spell defense without DEs. I'm just saying. That being one such example.
Yep.
Chris.
All right, for the Giants, Hakeem Nicks, 7 for 165 yards, 2 touchdowns. One of them was a 66-yarder that he bounced off a linebacker, spun, and outran everyone else. And the second one was right before the half, it was a Hail Mary that he came down with in the end zone.
Which was absolutely stupid. You can tell the Giants were going to concede halftime, kick the field goal, hand the ball off to Ahmad Bradshaw. Then all of a sudden, Ahmad Bradshaw runs 23 yards down the field and very smartly steps out of bounds.
But that 23 yards he ran about 60 because he ran off to the left and then cut all the way back to the right to get all the way. And he looked up and saw he had the sideline, so he just outran him to the sideline.
And took it out of bounds. Very wisely
With 11 seconds left, I think.
11, 14, yeah. Something like that. They would have had time for a shot and the field goal attempt.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than try to come up with a play to make the field goal attempt close, whatever, Eli Manning opens fire.
Yeah.
Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah, it would have been a 54-yard field goal. Otherwise, it was a 37-yard catch in the end zone.
And at any rate, with that, here's the truth of it. Amazing. I think we said this last week when he came up in the playoffs big against the Falcons. Funny things happen when Hakeem Nicks actually catches the stupid ball. Chris.
Victor Cruz had 5 for 74, and Mario Manningham had 3 for 31 with a touchdown. For the Pack, Donald Driver at 3 for 45 with a touchdown, and Craig Jennings 4 for 40, Jordy Nelson 3 for 39, and as you said before, John Kuhn was 1 for 8 with a touchdown. Big difference in here, this game was really turnovers. I mean, time of possession, everything else. Giants were 2-for-5 in field goals. You know, 2-for-5 in the red zone. Pack were 2-for-3. Times was 4-for-5. He had a blocked field goal in the second quarter when the game was tied 10-10.
So, yeah. That game, we expected that game to be closer. I would argue it was closer in the game than the score would entail, and all the officials did attempt to help. The Giants prevailed. I said it all during the week, and I said it last week here. I almost picked the Giants to win. I just couldn't do it. I had no idea the Packers were going to come out as flat as they did. I mean, they were making mistakes left and right. Receivers were dropping balls. I mean, it wasn't Aaron Rodgers' best game, but I counted. There was upwards of 7 drops.
There was 6 halfway through the third. And I don't remember seeing after anything after that. But there was a stat they showed on TV, 6 halfway through the third.
I think it was at least one more after that.
The home cooking by the refs, you mentioned the plays?
Oh, yeah. The first one was a fumble that wasn't called. They let it go on the field. Giants recovered it, ran out of bounds.
And by let it go, there was no whistle blowing it down by contact.
Right. And then all of a sudden, they all got together and said that he was down.
They overruled it after the play was over, after the fumble was returned, and the defensive player who was returning was contained and touchdown himself. He went out of bounds, I think.
Yeah, he went out of bounds. And so the Giants challenged it, and the replay, they looked it over and said that he wasn't down, but he was clearly going down to the ground as the ball was already coming out.
And what was funny about that is it was a game done by Fox, so they had the former VP of officiating, Mike Piera, on, and he said, well, they're taking a little extra time, probably means that they're going to overturn it because they're probably trying to figure out field position. The refs blew the call, making Piera look bad again. Not that he needs help doing that, but...
And then he came up, and then they went right back to him after that, and he's like, I agreed with you guys there, the field should have been... It clearly shows that the ball was coming out.
I don't know what they saw. And, I mean, they're trying to make excuses. Well, they may not have had enough time to get that particular shot. No. If we got it on TV at home, they got that shot in the booth. I'm pretty convinced of that.
And the second one came in the fourth quarter that there was the Aaron Rodgers got a Brady call. He was hit. It was a 3rd and 10. He got hit as he threw the ball away against from OCU Manera.
Right.
And they called it a blow to the head. There was nothing even close. He was below the shoulder pads.
The one part of the body where Aaron Rodgers didn't get hit, other than possibly his left leg, his head, did not get touched. Umanura made contact with his chest to Aaron Rodgers' shoulder. The two bodies went down. Here comes the flag. And the thing that was bad about that is that would have ended the drive. That was third down. It was
third
on a
and 10. Third and 10.
Yeah, thank you. That was on a third down that occurred. Now, with this penalty thrown 15 yards, automatic first down. I think it was 2 plays later.
Yeah, 2 plays later is a touchdown. Made it 30-20.
Kind of important.
Yeah.
It didn't end up being important.
But it could have.
But I'm getting very sick of ref calls making impacts on games and determining outcome. It didn't here. And there were a few calls that went the Saints' way in the Niner game, which didn't matter either. But long story short, that's when I feel gypped as a fan, is when refs are deciding things in games that cause the outcome. You know, I mean, look, we're all football fans. If when the Giants lost to the Packers, it was a great game. Sure, it kind of sucks that your team lost.
Right.
You know, but it was a great game. If it was because of a bad call that it's ended, you're mad either way. I'm just saying, Chris.
Yeah, it was. You text me after that after the Giants scored and said ball game. I go, it's not the ball game yet.
Yeah,
remember the Eagles. Remember the Eagles last year, and then they scored a touchdown. I'm like, that was 30-20. Here we go again.
Then you texted me. Then you texted me when the Giants made it. What was it?
37-20.
Now it's ball game. So,
and,
anyways,
the Packers became the first team that went 15-1 or better, and lost their only playoff game.
Wow! Also, another note like that too: first playoff game this season, or the away team won.
Mm-hmm.
Noted. All right, gentlemen, that'll do it for the games. Let's get into next week. We now know that Conference Championship Sunday is an old school rivalry. In the form of the Giants and 49ers to be out in Candlestick. And then the AFC matchup, the Ravens, the Patties. Which game comes on first? The AFC game.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess that means we'll pick. Well, how we do picking games this past week?
All right. Well, congratulations, Weasel. He got his position locked at third.
So, all right.
Because he is mathematically out, regardless. He's in third place.
Got to get to 100. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. He went 1-3 this week. You went 2-2, and I went 3-1.
You went 3-1?
Yeah, I went 3-1. Because I was three games opposite of you.
Picked the Giants.
Oh, you picked the Niners. That's right.
Yes, the only game I lost was the Texans.
Damn it.
So I picked the Niners, then the Giants.
So you're how many games back?
I am three games back.
Crap!
So I need to go opposite the rest of the way. The
contrarian.
Best I can do is tie.
This is stupid! So, you're not supposed to be... You're supposed to be mathematically eliminated! It's not fair! Yeah. What is... Oh, if
As
only I had faith in my team!
Weasel's mathematically...
third place.
Third place. So, because he's four games back for me. With three games left, so...
Okay, well, as a gentlemanly gesture... AFC game, we know what it is. The Ravens visiting the Panthers, 1-2, or Panthers, the Patriots, 1-2, playing against each other for Super Bowl rights. I don't know the last time it's happened, but it's probably been a while. Who you got, Weasel?
I think the Patriots are going to go all over, are going to pass all over them. So I'm going to go Patriots.
Okay. Well, see, here's the thing about that. Name. The last good defense that actually played like a good defense that the Patriots have played.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty quiet. Yeah. You're not really thinking one, are you? You could argue that the Dolphin game was pretty close at one point, but not really. I would submit to you three teams.
The Lions of preseason?
Lions of preseason.
When they tore them up.
Well, no, the Lions beat them. Right?
Yeah, I know. As I said, when the Lions tore them up.
Well, no, that's not the last good defense they've faced.
Yeah.
They've played the Giants. That's a pretty good defense. Lost that game.
Yeah.
Played the Steelers. Lost that game. Now, I would grant that if the Patriots were to play the Steelers in the AFC Conference Championship, they would win because Ben Roethlisberger has a messed up leg. The Ravens, however, designed to crush a prolific air attack like this by keeping them off the field. T. Sizzle doing ridiculous things. Ed Reed, although risked the injury, he'll still be solid. I see them attacking Brady. I see the linebackers, more specifically Ray Lewis and McLean, locking down, trying to get in, make stops on Hernandez and Gronkowski. But I got the Patriots. No, fooled you. I got the Ravens. Chris. Oh, and by the way, I have to kind of pick the Ravens. They're my Super Bowl winning pick back in August. You know, me personally, well, I won't get there yet. But do any of you guys have your Super Bowl, any of your Super Bowl picks still alive?
I still got the Patriots.
You still got the Patriots?
Okay. Yeah, so I'll go with them since I'm just going to go opposite of you anyway. So
why not?
Made it easy.
Then we got Giants and Niners.
Weasel.
Man, after the way the Giants defense played this game against the Packers, the Niners have a defense of their own, so I'll go for the rematch of the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I'll go Giants.
Ooh, quite a bit of mystique in there. A lot of people in New York evoking the 2007 game.
Or the 2000 game.
Correct.
Hmm.
Either way, we've got a recent Super Bowl rematch. Good call, Chris. However,
well, could be, by the Niners.
However, with Alex Smith playing like he actually is a quarterback, and amazing things happening with the defense and the pressure that they're able to get on their own defensive line, I see a different kind of rematch coming in the Super Bowl. Harbaugh Bowl 2. I got the Niners.
Homer.
You know, I meant to make a comment about how I knew that was coming, but I forgot. I was trying to get that rematch thing right. Chris.
You know, I got Giants.
You got to go opposite me. So you're looking for the 2007 rematch, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm looking for that.
So at any rate.
Giants have a better chance.
We got a shorter episode this week because, well, we're coming into the playoffs. We will see everybody on Monday, and then we will know who our Super Bowl participants are. Go ahead, check us out on the site directly, www.thestudentofthegame.com. Leave us a comment if you have something to say about, you know, any of these rematch scenarios in the Super Bowl. I think we pretty much are locked up to have a rematch, a Super Bowl rematch, unless it's Niners-Patriots. That's the only way we don't have a Super Bowl rematch of some sort. Actually, the Niners never faced...
The Ravens either.
Yeah, okay, that's stupid. So if the Niners... Yeah. Well, no, they faced each other this year. So this we've got the Harbaugh Bowl, too. Or you could probably call it the Super Harbaugh Bowl. Anyways, so if you thought that joke was lame, you can email me and tell me at thesotg@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. And with that, we have no other questions. Class dismissed.